So Philippians chapter 1 to 8 is where we're going to read, and we're going to refer in the main message to the Acts 16 passage as well. But Philippians 1, let's start to read at verse 1. This is God's word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Amen. Here's the title of the message this morning: Joyful Joy Enhancers in a Grumpy World. Joy Enhancers in a Grumpy World. I want to ask you at the very, very start this morning, do you ever have a grumpy day? Do you ever have a grumpy morning? Those of you who are parents or grandparents, do you ever find your children saying, oh, daddy's grumpy today? And you know, sometimes I feel people can be perfectly natural and outgoing and even joyful people, and somehow they come through the doors of a meeting house like this and they seem to leave their joy at the door. And God doesn't want it to be that way. I maybe told you before the story of speaking in Ballymena Elam Church one night at a gospel concert, and I was to bring the closing word at the end. And there was a lady sang, she's a famous gospel singer in Northern Ireland, and halfway through her song, it was powerfully anointed of God, she just stopped. And in a big deep voice she said, if he saved your soul, will you tell your face about it? And I thought, isn't that true? Maybe you're looking at me this morning and you're saying, if he saved your soul, will you tell your face about it? This book of Philippians, it's all about joy. And what makes it amazing is the fact that when Paul was writing this book, he certainly wasn't in a joyful situation. He was under house arrest in Rome. He was chained 24/7 to a Roman soldier. In fact, he was facing possible execution for the gospel's sake. Paul was facing tough days. And yet, as we're going to discover over the next number of mornings and a few evenings together in the book of Philippians, it's all about the fact that when you know Jesus as your personal Saviour, wherever Jesus in his providence takes you, the good days and the bad days, as you can see from the screen there, you can take the joy ride, the ultimate joy ride, knowing Jesus and living for Jesus. If you go through the book of Philippians and underline every time the word joy is used, you will discover that the word joy is used at least 16 times in the four chapters that make up this book. If you go through this book and discover or look at every time the word Christ is used, you will discover the name Christ is used 50 times in this book. And surely there's a significance of joy is used 16 times and Christ is used 50 times. What is joy? Joy is knowing, joy is experiencing, joy is living with and living for Christ, the Son of God. Now, as I've been saying to the children, there's lots of people today who mix up joy and happiness. Happiness is something that's terribly fickle. Happiness requires happy circumstances. Joy, on the other hand, sticks around. It doesn't go away when you and I face trouble if we have that real joy in our lives. I was so blessed from a commentator I was reading this week. Look at this quotation by a man called Sam Gordon, Sam D. Gordon. He says, joy is a distinctly a Christian word, a Christian thing. It's the reverse of happiness. Happiness is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. Joy has its spring deep down inside, and that spring never runs dry no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives joy. Do you remember what we were saying to the children? The scripture verse, John 15 verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. Jesus doesn't keep his joy all to himself. If you are saved this morning, his joy is in you. Later on in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So I want to ask you this morning, are you a joyful Christian? Are you rejoicing at the prospect of another winter's work for the Lord here in First Saintfield? My brother, my sister in the Lord, are you rejoicing at that prospect? Or maybe the reason why you don't know real joy, maybe the reason why you haven't started the joy ride, is because you haven't met the person who is joy. Jesus, the Son of God. So as we endeavour to move into the book of Philippians, let's start at the beginning first. A very good place to start, as we were taught. Here's the first point. Point number one, the story behind this book. What's the story behind the book? It will enrich our understanding of the book of Philippians if we delve behind the book to see the moment that this book was written. And as we do that, there are two key dates I want you to remember this morning. Here's the first one, AD 51. And the second one is AD 61. Now let's start with the first one, AD 51. In AD 51, Paul is on his second missionary journey. And in the providence of God, he finds himself in a place called Philippi. And the account of that is in Acts 16, that passage that's highlighted there on the screen. And as Paul arrives in Philippi, Timothy is with him and Silas is with him. And these three guys are advancing the gospel, preaching the gospel wherever they go. They come to Philippi and they go down to the riverside, and there's a lady called Lydia. Do you remember what she was? She was a dealer in purple cloth. And Acts 16 verse 14 says these amazing words. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. We have all seen those nature programs on television of a flower opening to the sun. And that's a powerful illustration of Lydia's heart to the gospel. It opened to the gospel. Have you got an open heart to the gospel this morning? Has the Lord opened your heart supernaturally to the gospel? Then Paul and Timothy and Silas, they cast an evil spirit out of a slave girl, and for this they end up in prison. And even in prison they have joy. What happens at midnight? If you read Acts 16, they're singing songs of praise to the Lord. And there's an earthquake, a supernatural earthquake. And as the prison shakes, what does the Philippian jailer do? He falls on his knees and he cries out, what must I do to be saved? And Paul points him to Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And a little church is planted at Philippi. And do you know that was the first Christian church in Europe? The church at Philippi. So move on now, 10 years, that was AD 51. Move forward 10 years to AD 61. Paul has moved on from Philippi. Paul finds himself in Rome. He is under house arrest. He is waiting for a trial before Caesar. And Paul wants to know how these believers at Philippi are getting on. And these believers at Philippi, they send a gift to Paul. A monetary gift to Paul. And the guy that carries this gift to Paul is the guy whose name is Epaphroditus. And whilst Epaphroditus is in Rome visiting Paul, Epaphroditus takes seriously ill. In fact, he nearly dies. And eventually, Epaphroditus returns to health. And what does Paul do? He sends Epaphroditus back to this church at Philippi with a little letter. A thank you note, so to speak. For the gift. And a thank you note all about joyful living. And you and I have that thank you note opened before us in the book of Philippians. So it's the morning of the Lord's Day, AD 61. It's the church at Philippi. And whoever's leading the service says to the congregation, I have a letter I want to read out to you this morning. And this is how the letter would start. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. And I wonder, when they just heard that name, Paul, can you not picture the Philippian jailer just looking up the seat to his wife and winking at her? Oh, that's Paul. That's the guy who pointed me to Jesus in prison. I wonder, and this is just sheer speculation, Scripture doesn't say this, but I wonder, was there a tear in Lydia's eye? Aye, that was Paul. God used him to open my heart to the gospel at the riverside. That's a little bit of the background story of this book. Here's the second thing, just to whet your appetite. Point number two, some verses that whet our appetite to dig deeply into Philippians. In my quiet time recently, I've been going through again Philippians, and I've been so blessed. There are some amazing promises of God. Let me share them with you. I want to whet your appetite. I want you to get even more hungry for God's word. Look at Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Or look at Philippians 1 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Or look at Philippians 2 verses 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look at Philippians 3 verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. What a feast! What a rich feast we're going to have over these next weeks together in this book. Let's move on to a third truth this morning. Point number three, some joy enhancers for living in a grumpy world. You see, in this passage specifically, and we need to get to this passage. In this passage specifically, verses 1 to 8 of chapter 1. Paul gives us what I'm calling joy enhancers. Five joy enhancers. Remember, this guy was under house arrest. This guy was chained 24/7 to a Roman soldier. This guy's future in this world looked pretty bleak. And yet he gives us five joy enhancers. And I believe if these joy enhancers are experienced among believers in First Saint Field, it will radically change our fellowship together. Let's unpack them very, very quickly. Here's the first one. Point A, the joy of recollection. Look at verse 3. Paul is saying these words. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Remember, he's in Rome. It's 10 years probably since he set eyes on some of these folks. And he's saying in Rome, he is saying in the midst of the dark situation he's going through, what's he saying? Listen, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now put your finger on that word thank, because it's a red lettered word. That word thank is first used amazingly in the New Testament in connection with the feeding of the 4,000. Jesus fed the 5,000, but he also fed the 4,000. And in Matthew 15:36, it says, the Lord Jesus took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, it's the same word that Paul uses, I thank my God. And it's also used in the New Testament of what Paul did when he was in the storm in the Adriatic Sea. Luke says in Acts 27, verse 35, he took some bread and he gave thanks. So on both of those occasions, the Matthew occasion and the Acts occasion, the word thanks is used in connection with our daily bread. And I believe we could honestly say, listen to this, Paul was as thankful for these believers as he was for his daily bread. And the big challenge is this. Are we as thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ as we are for our daily bread? I thank my God for you. That's the first joy enhancer, the joy of recollection. Here's the second one, the joy of intercession. Look at verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Here was a guy who was so busy advancing the gospel. Here was a guy who had done so much for the Lord. And yet time and time again in his epistles, he reminds churches that he has been praying for them. Listen to Romans 1 verse 9. How constantly I remember you in my prayers. Listen to Ephesians 1 verse 16. I never stop thanking God for you. You know, Satan had got this guy in prison. But Satan couldn't stop this guy praying. And even from that prison, that house arrest that Paul was in, even chained 24/7 to a Roman soldier, Paul prayed. And he prayed for these Philippian believers. Folks, there's a joy in intercession. There's a joy to pray together. And if you haven't been joining us on a Wednesday night, here's your invitation. We would love you to come and increase our joy as you pray with us. We would love you to come before church on Sunday evenings and increase our joy as we pray for God's work together. So there's the joy of recollection. There's the joy of intercession. Here's the third joy enhancer, if you stick with that sort of picture. Point C, the joy of participation. Look at verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You see, these believers in Philippi, they'd stood with Paul through thick and through thin. If you go over to chapter 4, and in verse 14 he says, yet it was good for you to share in my trouble. They were in this thing together. They were working together to advance the gospel. And I want to say to you, if Christ has saved you, he has saved you for one purpose, so that you might serve him and glorify him as you serve him. And if you haven't been serving him in First Saint Field, step up to the mark this winter. Step up to the mark and know the joy of participating together in the gospel. There's something about being together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and working together to advance the gospel in our partnership in the gospel. Here's the fourth joy enhancer. Point D, the joy of anticipation. Look at verse 6. I think verse 6 is so special. Look at this verse. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, how many of us have started doing something around our homes and we haven't finished it? And often we have started really enthusiastically, but somehow halfway through we've lost our enthusiasm and we've never got that project finished. Let me tell you, when Jesus steps into your life in salvation, you become his project. And he doesn't give up halfway. Because verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God's not finished with you yet, my brother, my sister in Christ. God's not finished with me yet. Do you remember Mastermind on television? And when the quiz master was asking the questions, there was always that one phrase he used. If the peeper went to say time was up, what did he say? He said, I've started, so I'll finish. And Christ says exactly the same with every person he has saved. I've started, so I'll finish. Here's the fifth joy enhancer, the joy of affection. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. You know, today, if we were being honest, many believers would have to say, well, I have him or her on my nerves. They annoy me. And he says to these believers in Philippi, I have you in my heart. And yet in verse 8, he takes it to a whole new dimension. Look at verse 8, amazing. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. He is saying two things in verse 8. He's saying, listen, God's my witness that you're in my heart. And I love you with what? With the affection of Jesus Christ. I was doing a little bit of digging this week into this passage and into commentaries. Look what F.B. Meyer says. Look at this quotation. It should be there on the screen. F.B. Meyer says of verse 8, Paul had got so near the heart of the Lord that he could hear its throb. He could detect its beat. It seemed as though the tender mercies of Jesus to these Philippians were throbbing in his own heart, as if the very heart of Christ dwelt in Paul. That's the joy, that's the love that believers should have for each other. That's the heartbeat that we should have for each other. Do you remember in Exodus 28 verse 15, the high priest wore a special garment, and part of that special garment was the ephod, E-P-H-O-D. And the ephod of the high priest went where? Where did it sit? Ironically, it sat over his heart. And amazingly, on the ephod, there were 12 stones. And on those 12 stones were the names of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. So they were over his heart. My brother, my sister in Christ, you are on Christ's heart this morning. You are on his heart. And consequently, he wants us to have his heart for one another. And this will give us real joy, the joy of affection, real joy for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So there's five joy enhancers. Five joy enhancers that will really take our joy to a whole new dimension in the Lord. But let me close with point number four. Here's point number four. The gospel is a wonderful invitation to the ultimate joy ride. You've heard the story before of the long-faced Christian who was doing some evangelism, and he was giving out some wee gospel tracts. And I'm not against gospel tracts one bit. They can be very effective. It's God's word. But he was a rather solemn Christian, and he was giving out these tracts, and this guy was coming along, and he said to him, would you like a little gospel tract, gospel leaflet? And the guy replied, no, thanks. I've enough problems of my own. And you know, sometimes Christians are so solemn, aren't they? Speaking to me. Sometimes there's too many long faces. And sometimes this joy is just not there the way it should be. So where do we get this joy? I was thinking this week in preparation. And I was thinking the Christian life starts, what does it start with? It starts with God convicting a sinner of their sin. And sometimes that's a very painful experience. But when that sinner accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's joy. In fact, listen to Luke 15 verse 10. I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In other words, there's joy in heaven when a sinner repents. Isn't that brilliant? It makes news in heaven when somebody becomes a Christian. And so if you've never become a Christian, if you've never repented, if you've never trusted Jesus, I'm urging you today to trust Jesus. And what will there be? There will be joy in the presence of the angels as somebody repents. The Christian life starts with joy. But then this joy ride continues. And it continues with joy because listen to 1 Peter 1 verse 8. You are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That is God's portion for every Christian. It doesn't always look that way. Sadly, it is not always that way. But that's where the Lord wants us to be. In the good days and in the bad days. An inexpressible and glorious joy. So it starts with joy. It continues with joy. And hear this. The Christian life doesn't end. Because Psalm 16 verse 11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It starts with joy, it continues with joy, and heaven are pleasures forevermore. So I want to ask you this morning, are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you on this joy ride? Because the Christian life is joy. God is not a grumpy God. God is not a killjoy. He is a just God. He is a faithful God. But he is a God who has joy at his very heart. And he wants us to experience his joy. Can I implore you, can I invite you to the cross this morning? Can I urge you to come to the cross, to come to Calvary, where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for you, where he took the punishment of your sin upon himself, so that if you would repent and believe that what he did there was sufficient to get you into heaven, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the heart of the Reformation, which we celebrated. We celebrate this year, 500 years ago, the Reformation was. That's what it's all about. Are you resting in Jesus alone? And then if you start at this joy ride. And if you haven't started the joy ride, start the joy ride today. And there will be rejoicing in heaven. Isn't that amazing? I was taught that as a child, but no matter how often I go back to Luke 15, I'm amazed that there's rejoicing in the presence of angels over a sinner who repents. There's rejoicing over sinners who repent. The angels want to rejoice in the presence of God. Will you repent today? And trust Jesus as your Savior. Look what C.S. Lewis said. Joy is the serious business of heaven. You know, there's going to come a day when we're going to be glorified. There's going to be no old sinful nature anymore. We're not going to be tempted anymore. We're not going to sin anymore. We're going to be saved to sin no more. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to be given brand new bodies. Bodies that are like Jesus. Bodies that will never grow old. Bodies that will never get sick. Bodies that will never get tired. And most of all, who is going to be on the throne? The one who has been in the throne and the one who always will be in the throne. King Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we're going to see him as he is. That's joy. Have you started the joy ride? And if you haven't started the joy ride, let me encourage you to start the joy ride today. Let's pray together. Father, we're sorry for the days when we're grumpy. We're sorry for the days when we're joyless Christians and not joyful Christians. And Lord, I pray that these five joy enhancers that we've been exploring this morning will be really at work in this congregation. But Lord, we also pray for anybody who has not started the ultimate joy ride with Jesus. And I pray today that they will start that joy ride. And as they start that joy ride, they will realize that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. And Lord, it's wonderful to know that in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So Lord, I pray that if he has saved our soul, that we will tell our faces about it. And that we will be rejoicing Christians, because that's contagious. And we want people to know our amazing Jesus. Go with us and give us your joy afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.